Thank you, James. Good morning. That was nearly a good morning. Good morning. God turned to God's word and Matthew chapter 27, beginning to read at verse 45, the death of Jesus. From the sixth hour until the ninth hour, darkness covered over all the land. About the ninth hour, Jesus cried out in a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani," which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge. He filled it with wine vinegar, put it on a stick, and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Now leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes to save him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook and the rocks split. The tombs broke open and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs, and after Jesus' resurrection, they went into the holy city and appeared to many people. When the centurion and those with him who were guarding Jesus saw the earthquake and all that had happened, they were terrified and exclaimed, "Surely he was the Son of God." Many women were there watching from a distance. They had followed Jesus from Galilee to care for her, for his needs. Among them was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James and Joses, and the mother of Zebedee's sons. Very well known reading this morning. The final hours and the moments in the life of Jesus. You know, as he hung on the cross and his life ebbing away, the weight of the sin of the world on his shoulders and the shadow of death overtaking him. We're told that the darkness covered the whole land for 3 hours, and as friends and family, as the crowd and the soldiers watched on, Jesus lets out this cry, my God, why have you forsaken," or "why have you abandoned me?" Death then would overtake him. At that moment, we're told that the curtain in the temple was split in two, the curtain that divided the holy place from the holy of holies, the curtain that separated the place from man to the place where God was supposed to be, was ripped in two. There was an earthquake. Tombs were opened. Holy people come back to life, and they walk around Jerusalem when Jesus is raised from the dead. The soldiers that mocked him, the soldiers that made fun of him, the soldiers that nailed him to the cross, now are terrified. Surely this was the Son of God. You know, the man who had raised the dead and healed the sick and drove out demons now walks in the Death Valley. For his family and for his friends and for those that loved him, as they watch him take his final breath, there's grief and there's pain and there's sorrow. There's probably confusion. There's disappointment. Of course, we know the story doesn't stop there. That's not the end. Death wouldn't hold him. He would conquer death, opening up the way for all of us who trust in him to actually do the same. As he died on the cross, he paid the price for our sins, that sins that separates us from God, that keeps us away from God. With the sin gone, we can walk into the Holy of Holies. We can walk into the very presence of God. In fact, we can have the very presence of God within us. We become conquerors. We become children of the kingdom of God. We gain life and life for eternity. You know, as the valley of the shadow of death that we read about in Psalm 23 overcomes him. For those standing at the foot of the cross, there was despair and there was hopelessness. But actually, it brought hope. It brought comfort. It brought strength. You know, as you travel through Psalm 23, you know, it's probably best known verses from the Bible. Probably verses that are said and heard more than any other. And this morning, as we come to the end of our series on traveling light and looking at Psalm 23, I want to focus on verse 4 of that psalm. The whole thing of death and how that can drag us back, how it can cause so much pain and sorrow and sense of loss. Yet Jesus, the Good Shepherd, by his death and by his resurrection, brings strength and hope to this part of life. You know, as we begin Psalm 23, David tells us about God. First three verses, the Lord is my shepherd, he makes me lie down. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of righteousness. Encouraging words. But then when we get to verse 4, there's a change. Because he's no longer talking about God, but he starts to talk to God. And he addresses the most difficult and experience in life, and that is death. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For God, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. I'm very much aware this morning as I look at this psalm and this topic, for some, it's going to be very painful and very difficult. As grief is raw, and for others, memories will come flooding back. But bear with me, please. And let God bring comfort this morning. See, one thing we all have in common, and it's that we'll pass through this valley, every single one of us. And as I look over you this morning and you look at me, for some of us, it will surprise us. It will catch us unaware. For others, we'll watch it slowly coming. There's some that'll be with eagerness. I spent some time with an elderly woman yesterday, and she just can't wait. She just can't wait to be with her Lord. Some, like her, there'll be an eagerness there, but others, for some of us, there'll be regret and fear. Either way, it's a journey we all have to walk. It's a shadow that will fall upon each and every one of us. Everyone must die once, and after that be judged by God, the writer of Hebrews tells us. And David is aware of this, and as he pens these words and uses his experience of being a shepherd, where he started life at before he became a king, he uses the experience of being a shepherd to try to get us to understand this journey that we must take. You know, as the shepherd looks over the pastures in the lowlands, the grass is all gone. There's nothing more for the sheep. So the shepherd's a decision to make. He needs to take them up the mountain where the good grass is, where the lush grass is. But to get up there, it's a dangerous journey. It's a journey through valleys. There's steep ravines. There's wild animals, there's unforeseen dangers. The security of the pen isn't there anymore. But it's not all bad because the shepherd knows the way. He's done it before. And with his staff, he will nudge the sheep along and he will encourage them. And with the rod, he'll protect them. And David explains to us in this psalm, just as a shepherd will lead the sheep to that mountain, through the valleys, Jesus, the good shepherd, will be with us and guide us through the final journey that we all must take in life. He has gone before us. He has prepared the way. Jesus explains this in John 14. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house have many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. For the Christian, Jesus walks with us through the valley of death. Doesn't leave us to travel this journey by ourselves. We're not left to grope around in the dark and hopefully find our way there. It's not like you see in some films where you come up to the pearly gates, you don't know how are you going to get in? How are you going to get in? Uncertainty and so on and so forth. Not with Jesus. No, he walks with us on the journey. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you. I will grab you by the hand. I will lead you through this valley of death. See, there's no one else can safely get us through that valley. There's no other faith. There's no other religion. There's no belief system. We can't do it by ourselves, and nobody else can do it for us. Jesus knows the way, and Jesus is the way, as we've sung earlier on. And he's committed to personally come and take you. That's why David says, I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid. When I close my eyes for the last time, I'm not afraid. This morning, who are you trusting in when the appointment with death comes? Whether you see it coming or whether it surprises you, who are you trusting in? See, you can't miss it or avoid it. It is going to happen. Who are you relying on? You know, it's clear from the Bible that there's only one. There's only one can lead you there. And that's the one who died on a cross for you. Of course, as those that we love close their eyes for the last time, or we close our eyes for the last time, as we begin that journey through the dark valley, we leave behind a lot of grief, pain, and loss. So often, when people die, they leave behind so many unanswered questions. Questions usually that begin with that wee word, why? Which in truth, near impossible to answer. You know, those of us who have lost loved ones, friends, family, whatever it may be, we battle with sorrow, we battle with disappointment. We battle with dreams that are now never going to be fulfilled. We battle with grief that can nearly overwhelm us. And we battle with anger, and a lot of the time, especially anger at God, and a God who is supposedly be a God of love. And there's no easy answer to the why questions. There's probably a difficult one in many ways, because we're told to trust in God. And this God that we're told to trust in is a God who is good and is good all the time. Max Lucado, in his book, Traveling Light, pens these words. The first to accept God's decision of death is the one who dies. While we are shaking our heads in disbelief, they are lifting their hands in worship. And while we are mourning at the grave, they are marveling at heaven. While we are questioning God, they are praising him. Yes, through words, and yes, they may bring some comfort. But a life that seems to have been robbed from us, and the pain and grief that that brings when it's all too real, is not too easily eased. However, for those of us left behind, as a shadow of death falls over us, them words of verse 4 are as relevant. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. This morning, for those that are grieving, he is your hope. He is your comfort. He is your strength. And when fear and despair threaten to engulf you, it's his rod that protects and his staff that gently nudges you on. One day, you'll be with your loved ones again. But till that day, God calls us to journey on. God calls us to journey on. You know, the worst thing we can do is bottle it all in. Pretend we are okay, but actually inwardly, we're falling apart. It's actually not biblical. It's not a biblical response. It wasn't Jesus' response to the death of his friend as he stood at the graveside. It wasn't David's response when he heard the death of Jonathan and Saul. We read in Ecclesiastes, for everything there is a season, there's a time for every activity under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to harvest, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to cry and a time to laugh and a time to grieve and a time to dance. Grief isn't a thing that goes quickly away, and words don't easily soothe it. And for those that stand at the graveside beside us, they quickly move on with life. But it doesn't move so quickly on for the broken hearted. I know of a church minister when, after someone very close to him died, people would meet with him and ask him, "How are you doing?" And of course, let's face it, me and James were just joking before the service. When people ask us, when we ask someone, "How are you?" we're actually expecting a response, "I'm okay." And that's what this person done, "I'm okay." But inside, they were been torn apart. So they decided, "I'm just going to say how I am when somebody asks me in future. I'm brokenhearted," and so on and so forth. And that actually got quite a response. For some people, they're totally shocked that somebody, a man of God, could be broken like that and share it. So they didn't know how to deal with it, and so don't ask anymore. But you know, for those that's gone through a similar circumstances, it actually brought a bit of hope, brought a bit of comfort, and begun the journey of healing. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, walks with us in the dark valley. Then finally this morning, and I'm covering a very deep subject very quickly, but while death may be the last valley that we'll all have to pass through, there are many other dark valleys in life that can trouble us and overshadow our lives and bring us despair. Valleys that we can find ourselves in and really not know a way out of. You know, valleys of failure and unemployment, of broken relationships, valley of sickness, valley of divorce, valley of betrayal, valley of loneliness, valley of regrets. All dark and dangerous places where hope can simply disappear. Yet for the one who knows the Good Shepherd, We don't walk them valleys by ourselves. The Good Shepherd walks it with us if we'll only trust in him. You know, sometimes there's dark valleys come over our lives and we can't see the way out. We can't see the way out. We don't see any way out at all. But you know, the Good Shepherd does. He knows how to navigate out of the dark valley into the green pastures. You know, this psalm finishes, verse 6, with some powerful words. Surely your goodness and your unfailing love will pursue me all the days of my life, and I will live in the house of the Lord forever. God pursues us, and his love pursues us. You know, so much more could be said this morning, but I haven't got time. But I want to finish with some words from Max Lucado. Words for those of us fearing death, for those of us overwhelmed with grief, for those of us angry at God, for those of us walking a dark valley, whatever that dark valley may be. But they're words of truth, and words not only worth hearing, but letting God by his Spirit soak into our lives. And they're these. This morning, wherever you find yourself, you have a God who hears you. The power of his love is behind you. The Holy Spirit is within you, and all of heaven is ahead of you. If you have the shepherd, you have the grace for every sin, direction for every turn, a candle for every corner, and an anchor for every storm. Though it may not seem it this morning, you have everything you need. This morning, wherever you find yourself, Jesus, the Good Shepherd, is there for you. The reality is, the reality for all of us this morning is that we were born to die. You were born to die, to live for eternity with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's God's calling on you. You know, we can have many callings on our lives, but that's one calling that's on each of us. You were born to die, to live for eternity. But it begins, folks, it begins at the foot of the cross and trusting the Good Shepherd as your Lord and as your Savior. Amen.